Hillary is beating Donald Trump in Utah. Utah is the reddest state in the union. If the Republican can't carry Utah, we're looking at a Walter Mondale-level bloodbath.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. It is 5:09 and it is Thursday. It's the 21st day of April 2016. Good morning. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Lots to talk to you about today. May 17th is an important day. If you have spring travel planned, we will talk with Rick Cini later in the broadcast about cheap fares and also other airline issues in the news recently. We'll also have Heather Long on from CNN Money later. The market's getting close to its record highs again. It's already been above 18,000. We'll talk about the very latest from the business world with Heather Long of CNN Money. Also, we will, coming up shortly, talk about Earth Day and how to recycle some of your electronics equipment. But first, from the WGN Market Desk, here is the latest intel from around the world. Asian stocks rallied this morning, lifted by a rise in U.S. stocks following an uptick in oil prices. A weakening of the Japanese yen pushed Tokyo's benchmark higher. Japan's benchmark Nikkei 225 surged about 2.5% this morning as exporters' shares gained, since a weaker yen tends to boost their profits. Hong Kong's Hang Seng also climbed almost a percent and a half up to 21,575. The Shanghai also shed early gains. It was also down. It was down about a 0.1%. On Wall Street yesterday, we saw the Dow Jones rise just a measly 42 points. Standard and Poor's 500 edged up about a point to 2102. The NASDAQ composite climbed just 7. It was a tepid day all day from the beginning, from the very opening bell. The Labor Department will report today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also, Freddie Mac will release this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. In Germany, the U.S. European Central Bank's Governing Council is meeting in Frankfurt. They'll set monetary policy for the 19-country eurozone. There are a number of companies reporting earnings today. General Motors is reporting. The Southwest Airlines Group is reporting. Union Pacific will report financial results before the market opens. Alphabet, Microsoft, Starbucks, and Visa will report after the market closes. Time is up for Volkswagen to meet a federal judge's deadline to detail how it will make nearly 600,000 diesel cars rigged to cheat on emissions tests comply with clean air laws in the United States. Senior U.S. District Judge Charles Beyer says he wanted to know the timing of the fix and any planned payments to vehicle owners by a court hearing today. A person briefed on this matter says a deal is expected to be announced between Volkswagen, the U.S. government, and private lawyers for the automaker to buy back some of the vehicles and spend just over $1 billion to compensate owners. That's coming a little later on this morning. Twitter has its eyes on Japan with its 3.5 million users to make money from companies eager to use Twitter data to research retail trends, manage inventory, and improve customer service. Although tweets are public, the San Francisco-based social media company offers special technological tools to better analyze some of the data that comes in and to account for all those tweets, including those in archives through partner companies like NTT Data and Netbase, which pay Twitter. United Airlines, United Continental, beat its estimates yesterday on revenue, on earnings, but missed its earnings, missed the estimates on revenue. Yesterday, shares just the revenue point was just 0.05 United Continental earnings yesterday. Well, Earth Day is tomorrow. This is actually Earth Month. And the question has arisen lots of times in my household. What do you do with an old computer? What do you do with some of the old equipment? In my case, I just sort of put it in a closet that is starting to look a little bit like a museum. We're on the phone this morning with Andy Matfield. He's with the Geek Squad, which is part of Best Buy. And welcome, Andy, to the opening bell this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's Earth Day. We want to be kind to the Earth. There are a lot of electronics in the world. How do you recommend we deal with these?
Well, if you have any electronics that need to be recycled, go ahead and bring them on into your local Best Buy. We'll recycle them for free for you.
So how does that work? And what electronics are you talking about? Just everything or just computers?
Older tube TVs, TVs, printers, things like that we'll recycle for you.
Okay. So what do we need to know when we do that?
Go ahead and come on into the local Best Buy, and in the front we have people. Go ahead and talk with them, and they'll hook you up with a sticker that'll help you recycle, and we'll bring it on back for you.
Is there anything we need to do before we bring it into Best Buy?
If you're working with a computer, make sure you back up your data. I'd recommend taking out the hard drive.
How do we do that?
Depending on what you have, there's a lot of times there'll be a little port on the back of the computer that'll have a hard drive logo. It might say something like HDD. You can take a screw out and pull that right out.
Is there any mistakes that people make when they do this? Do you find people bringing their hard drive to you?
We do, and if you can't get it out, don't worry about that. Our Geek Squad can remove it for you as well.
All right, we're talking with Andy Matfield of the Geek Squad.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian stocks rallied overnight, inspired by a rise in U.S. stocks and an uptick in oil prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average picked up 42 points yesterday, closing at 18,096. The S&P 500 edged up a point. The NASDAQ Composite climbed 7. Yum Brands, the parent company of KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut, beat first quarter earnings expectations with an 8% increase from the same quarter a year ago. Yum posted higher same-store sales in each of its fast food chains. Apple will announce its quarterly financial results one day later than planned next week to avoid reporting on the day of a memorial service for Silicon Valley business leader Bill Campbell, a mentor to former Apple chief Steve Jobs and other tech leaders. Apple instead will report on Tuesday. And the world's best-selling sports coupe last year was the Ford Mustang, with 141,000 sold around the world. Some of the hottest demand for the Michigan-built Mustang was in Europe, where 16,000 left the lots. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to The Opening Bell this morning. We're on the phone with Andy Matfield of the Geek Squad. And Andy, we were talking earlier about how Earth Day is this Friday, tomorrow. It's Earth Month. And recycling of electronic equipment is pretty important. You know, Geek Squad and the Best Buy is involved with this. What happens generally with these equipments? If you weren't doing the recycling, what would happen to them, and why is this a big problem?
Well, there's a lot of cautious materials that you don't want to throw into the environment because you know there's mercury and all sorts of other things that can cause a lot of damage in our environment. And we want to make sure that those are disposed of properly. So Best Buy is making sure we're doing our part to dispose of some of the electronics that we sell and may not have sold.
How is the process work? How does the process work? What do you do with them once we bring them to you?
So once you bring them to us, we'll ship them out to a warehouse where we'll get them dismantled and then disposed of properly.
Is there something in the process that you can maybe elaborate on? Is it that you recycle some of this stuff? Does it all just get taken out in a way that is kind to the environment? Or what happens if you could expand on that?
Yeah, once it's marked for recycling, what we'll do is we'll bring it to the warehouse, like I said, and then we'll dismantle it and make sure that parts that can be easily disposed of will be disposed of. But if it has any materials like mercury, lead, or anything like that, we're going to make sure that's disposed of properly so it doesn't get into our environment and cause problems.
How does this save money?
From a save money standpoint, we'll do it for free for you. So you won't have to, one, it'll take up space in your home, and you won't have to wait for a local time. I know some cities will do pickups for materials and things like that. We can do that year-round, so go ahead and bring it on in anytime.
With the Geek Squad, you guys have been around for a while, it seems. You've made a mark. Everybody knows those little Volkswagens that are driving around. Talk to me about how the Geek Squad has grown over the years and how it's sort of become a real staple, I guess, is the only word I can think of, in the electronics repair area.
Yeah, well, as the needs for electronics have grown throughout consumers, we've managed to grow across the national base as well as some global presence as well. The cool thing about Geek Squad is we started in Minnesota in 1994, and now we're around the country. And the great thing about that is you're going to get a very similar experience you would get in Minnesota as you would in California or other states across.
Is there one mistake that people make with their stuff that you guys are fixing more than others, or is it just across the board?
Oh, there's one thing that I see a lot is if you don't have proper internet speed or if you don't have a router that's able to handle some of the things you want to do, say you've had a router for 6-10 years, you probably want to update that router. A lot of the times those routers are so tired that they're in need of being recycled or put in place for a new one. So I would highly recommend, if you haven't had a new router in the last 2 years, it would probably be time to get that swapped out.
And that's something, too, that it'll be driven by your internet provider. I know that recently my provider called me and said, well, you're going to have to update your router. But some internet companies may not do that with their customers.
You know, you got to keep in mind there's a lot of people in the business, so they're not going to necessarily keep track of everyone and what everyone has. So what I would recommend is make a note of what you have and take care of yourself. A lot of times the routers that you get from the providers are mid-range to low-range routers that are meant to just internet surf, things like that. But if you're looking to do connected home stuff such as Nest thermostats, Rachio water supplies, things like that, you're going to want to make sure that you have a nice high-end router that's able to handle all of that.
And you mentioned some of that stuff. I mean, we have all of our tablets, everything running, but you mentioned a couple of things there that kind of go in with Earth Day. The eco-friendly homes are really popular now. Do you guys do that at Best Buy? And how big are those becoming?
Yes, that's something we've started doing in the last few years. Home automation is going to be very big. Everything now is able to talk to each other, and we want to make sure that we're able to help you guys capitalize on that. From the Nest thermostat, a really cool device that'll learn your habits for when you're at home. You can create custom schedules, things like that, help you save some money on your heating bills or cooling bills, depending on where you live, as well as the Rachio wireless water supply here. The really cool thing about that is it'll switch off or on depending on if you need water or not. And a really cool thing about that is it can save you up to 40% on your water consumption.
And here in Illinois, like in Minnesota, the weather can change pretty quickly. Here in Chicago especially. So if I'm at work, I can use my iPad or my iPhone to see that it's, you know, if the temperature's dropped 40 degrees as it sometimes does during the day, I can, if somebody's at home, I can, you know, reset the thermostat remotely, right?
Absolutely. That's the really cool thing about these devices. They're all internet connected.
So I hear that the Volkswagens may be going away, that you may be changing to Priuses for the Geek Squad?
That's correct, yeah. We just switched out to about 1,000 Geekmobiles to the Toyota Prius C.
The Geekmobiles is what you call them, huh?
That's correct.
All right, Andy, Matt Field, Geek Squad, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:36. Welcome back to the Opening Bell. Some other big headlines this morning. Swiss pharmaceutical titan Novartis says net income from continued operations fell 13% in the first quarter as generic competition cut into sales of its drug Gleevec, one of the first very effective cancer medicines. The basal-based company said Thursday its net income from continuing operations declined about $2 billion from $2.31 billion a year earlier. Sales dipped about 3% to $11.6 billion. Panama has signed a deal with Japan to secure $2.6 billion in financing for the construction of a third metro line in the Central American nation's capital. The line will run from central Panama City across the Panama Canal to link the capital with western suburbs. Construction expected to begin next year with a late 2021 target date to begin operations. It's time to say goodbye to the Xbox. ABC News correspondent Dave Schreiber reports.
Microsoft says it will stop manufacturing the Xbox 360. Games like Gears of War were born on the 360.
Welcome to Delta Squad.
Hey, are you the Marcus Phoenix?
Yep.
Halo came into its own.
To destroy the Halo ring.
Microsoft says the Xbox 360 has had an amazing run, with the realities of making a product over a decade old starting to creep up on them. Existing inventory of the consoles will continue to be sold. The Xbox One, introduced in 2013, will live on. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
There's lots of reaction coming in to the decision to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. Oprah Winfrey, among those, says the choice creates an opportunity for people to learn about the slave-turned-abolitionist.
That's the best choice. That is the choice for America. And now people who didn't even know who she was are going to know who she is.
And it's time to bring in Heather Long from CNN Money. By Heather Long at Twitter. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
What do you think about the new $20 bill announcement, the new money faces?
I am a huge fan of The Choice, and I think they did a nice job compromising. Obviously, there was a big push to put a woman on the $10 bill, but there was also that lobbying going on from the Broadway star of the show Hamilton to keep Hamilton on the $10 bill. So I think putting Harriet Tubman on the 20 was a really shrewd move, and obviously there's a lot of celebration of that choice.
This is a big...
it was interesting.
Yeah, it's a big deal because, I mean, these faces that we've normally seen on money, this doesn't usually change.
Yeah, that's right. I was just reading the Fed chair, Ben Bernanke, had a nice blog post where he said it's kind of odd that we don't do this like postage stamps. I mean, you think how often people collect postage stamps because they change so frequently. And we've been able to honor, you know, cultural heroes and historical figures. So it's a little bit more complicated, I think, to print money in the United States, print new money all the time like we do postage stamps. But it's an interesting thought. As technology gets better, why can't we rotate a lot more often and honor a lot more people?
Well, especially women. I think it's, you know, how old is the United States now? More than 200 years old, and this is way overdue.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Dow. The Dow is flirting, has been over 18,000 in recent days, is probably going to go a little bit higher. What do you think is fueling all of this? And does Donald Trump really know what he's talking about when he says the economy is the country's biggest problem?
Sorry. What? Yeah, a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Dow and the stock market. It is really remarkable. I mean, you and I have been talking since the start of the year. In January, there was this belief that the world and even the United States were on the verge of a recession, because driven largely by China. You know, as many people remember, probably on this show, when you checked your stocks and logged in to your accounts, you were down probably 10% at the worst of it. You know, now the Dow is not, and the S&P 500 are not only up for the year, they are both just a tad over 1% away from their all-time highs. So last May, it's been since last May since the Dow and the S&P hit new records, and now we're closing in on those. We're not just back above 18,000, we're closing in on an all-time high again. So what's driving this? In my mind, it's really two things. Maybe three. Number one, people have calmed down. I think as we were talking back in January, February, it seemed like there was too much fear in the market. In the United States, we had a good sense looking at the data that the United States economy was not going into recession. A lot of experts saying, wait a minute, yes, things that look pretty dicey in China, but this is not going to pull the United States down. So I think people have realized that. And obviously the other big story of 2016 is oil. Oil prices, you know, for a while, anytime oil sneezed, went up or down just a little bit, the stock market would react pretty wildly. And right, we've seen oil come back above $40 in the last few weeks. And this morning, I believe it's trading around between 44 and 45. So there again, there's just a sigh of relief that the worst may be over for oil. And I would also argue the worst may be over for the United States dollar, which is looking very, very strong. It still looks pretty strong, relatively speaking. But it's not, there was a belief that the U.S. dollar and the euro would hit parity this year. A lot of the big Wall Street banks said, you know, this is a great time to travel to Europe. These two currencies are going to be equal for the first time in years. And they got close, but now the dollar's actually weakening. And that seems to be helping a lot of companies like a Nike that do business around the world.
And so that's why I asked the Donald Trump question, because after, you know, he won New York and I heard his speech, when he said the economy is one of the country's biggest problems right now, and that's in his wheelhouse, I was like, what? And I think you kind of said the same thing on Twitter. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal with that. There's no doubt, I would say two things. He is definitely overplaying this notion of the U.S. may be on the verge of a recession. He's even made comments that he certainly wouldn't buy stocks right now. You know, the notion that America's going to be in a recession in the next 6 months, I don't think very few people are predicting that unless you're really doomy and gloomy for the same reasons we've just said. Actually, the world looks like it's in a much better place, and certainly the United States looks pretty resilient. Where I think Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz, I mean, across the board, John Kasich, they're all making the same point, though, and that is, why do Americans feel this anxiety? So I think Trump is right, if you will, in one sense, and that is in poll data after poll data, Americans are not just ranking the economy as the top concern. They are talking about that they are worried, over half of America is worried that their kids won't even be as good off financially as they have been. So there's this deep-seated anxiety about where the country is going. And that, I think, is a little bit more legitimate. We talk a lot economically about the fact that, yes, the United States economy is growing. It's growing at about 2% per year. But historically, we typically have been growing at 3% per year. So we're growing a little bit slower than we have in the past. And then the bigger one, which I think most of us can know, is you look around and you say, wow, a lot of people haven't been getting raises. Are they working in jobs? Maybe they lost a job in the recession, and then maybe they've gotten a job again, but the job doesn't pay as well as the one that they lost. So again, that anxiety around, wow, I may have a job, but gee, I don't feel better off, and maybe I'm really not better off than I was a few years ago.
Yeah, and that this all goes back to probably the earnings part of this. You know, even though things have been going kind of gangbusters, that's the big low point, is that earnings really haven't been growing with the rest of the economy.
Well, they had been, right? They had been, if you take sort of a longer, bigger picture view, they were growing, but a lot of that growth was because companies were cutting costs, right? Coming out of the recession, people were being laid off, they were finding cheaper ways, whether it was animating, using robots or machines to do some of the processes, or outsourcing, another topic that's been hot on the campaign trail. But what we're seeing now is look, a lot of companies have made those cuts, there's not a whole lot more to cut. And now they really need growth. They need the economy to grow, and they need people and businesses to buy more and spend more. And that's where those concerns are coming in. I think the word that's been thrown around is the U.S. consumer is resilient. So there's still some spending going on, but it's certainly not the boom. It's not that people, like experts, kept predicting. They kept saying, well, once more people get back to work, get those jobs, they're going to go out and they're going to buy.
Right.
And we just haven't seen that. And I think you can see Coke and Mattel, for instance, in the last 24 hours have reported earnings. Both those stocks are down. And a lot of that story is people just aren't buying as much. So it's been, you're right, it's been a real mixed bag for the companies as well as they try to navigate what's going on. And a lot of them aren't investing either, which is the biggest concern of all. They're also looking at the future, and they're hoarding cash, or they're buying back their stock. They're not investing in the future, which is what we really need to propel growth.
Heather Long, always good to talk with you. CNN Money senior markets and economy writer.
Thank you. Take care.
Have a great day. You can follow Heather on Twitter at @ByHeatherLong.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
551 from the market desk this morning. The Dow futures pointing up just a bit, up 9. S&P is flat, so is the NASDAQ. Let's find out about commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. Another headline day in the commodity market world yesterday. Listen to these grain headlines yesterday. Wheat up 3.8%, ending above $5 a bushel for the first time since November. Much of that caused by short covering, because a lot of traders had short positions in wheat that they had to buy back. But it was last September since we saw the wheat market above $5. Soybeans above $10 a bushel on fund buying and concerns about Argentina. That was the story yesterday, as we saw the first time we've had a $10 a bushel soybean price since mid-August. Again, fund buying and concerns about Argentina's soybean crop. And then corn surges to a six-month high on fund buying. There are those funds again, and we're doing some exporting. Department of Agriculture reported that we sold 136,000 tons of U.S. corn to unknown destinations. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Most U.S. airlines are still charging fees for phone reservations. American, JetBlue, United, they all charge $25. Southwest doesn't charge. And now, neither does Delta, which just announced they're dropping that particular fee. Rick Cini, the founder and CEO of FairCompare.com, joins us this morning from Dallas, at Rick Cini on Twitter. Rick, this is a big move by Delta. Usually you and I are talking about fees that are being added.
Yeah, usually when we come on and talk about fees, it's about airlines raising fee. In this case, Delta actually dropping a fee, $25 to make a phone call to either book a ticket or change your ticket, dropping that fee. Now, Southwest doesn't have that fee at all, but most of the other airlines had a fee between $20 and $35. So with Delta dropping it, I'm pretty sure American and United will be following suit here soon. So at least some good news from consumers. And on the bag front fee, there's a FAA bill going through to fund the FAA, and it looks like both the House and Senate have a version of it that actually provides refunds if your bag doesn't make it, if you actually check your bag and have a fee for that. So again, that could be up to $50 round trip. The rules on that look like it may be automatic, may not, maybe 6 hours, maybe 24 hours. They're still negotiating, but that looks like it may happen, so that may kick in next year as well.
We've talked about the FAA reauthorization bill before. I know there were efforts to try to get provisions in there on seating size and other things. Did all of those sort of fall by the wayside?
They typically do in this particular case. You know, there's not a passenger bill of rights in the U.S. There is one in Europe. But they are actually, you know, they're slowly but surely, they're doing either rulemaking. This would be actual a law that would actually be passed. But DOT also has the ability to make rules as well on some of these things. And we'll continue to see them sort of make rules that are more passenger-oriented. They've been doing that the last 5 or 6 years already.
I was confused this past week because we saw, and we talked about the last time we were together, about how there were the most complaints in a decade or more about airlines. And then a week later, we saw another survey that said people were pretty happy. Which one was accurate?
Yeah, I think it's, well, you know, in most cases, it's both. I mean, you know, the people that are upset, think about it. There's no empty middle seats on any aircraft anywhere. So anytime there's an issue, there's nowhere to put you. You may be stuck for 2 or 3 days in some cases, depending on what airline and what city you're in. That causes some frustration. Also, the bag fees have caused some frustration, especially when they don't arrive. People are looking to do that. On the flip side of things, you know, they haven't lost as many bags. On time arrival. Arrivals are better than they've been in the last 4 or 5 years, departures and arrivals. So, you know, the things that people care about the most is basically arriving on time and having your bag there. If airlines are getting better at that, most people are going to be happy.
There's also a date that I've seen on your blog and other people are talking about May 17th. Why is that a big day?
Yeah, so May 17th is for departures on or after May 17th, you see a price jump for quote-unquote late spring rates. You also see another jump after that on June the 10th for summer rates that kick in. So if you can buy your ticket on or before those two dates, you can save yourself 10 to 15% on that May 17th date and another 10 or 15% on that June 10th date. So if you can sneak out before then, it's about when you depart, by the way, not when you return. So even if you just leave before and return after, you'll still make those savings.
We'll talk about a couple of cheap fares out of Chicago in a minute, but I want to see if you saw this. Did you see the jetliner that NASA, the new thing they've announced today, the new hybrid jetliner that they say could fly, what is it, a couple of hundred miles without getting fuel or something like
that? Wow, this is something that airlines and a variety of people have been trying to look at. We have a lot of stuff going on with alternate fuels, with all sorts of biodiesels, and now it looks like we're going to have some sort of hybrid stuff with potentially some batteries and a variety of other things. This is something that's coming probably in the next 20 to 30 years, where the same thing that's happening with cars around the world is also going to happen with aircraft. You know, there's two reasons for that. One is emissions, and another is it's a huge amount of potential fuel savings.
The emissions part of it is interesting. I was talking to somebody harking back to 9/11 and remembering when all the airlines were grounded and how that affected the sky. I mean, the sky seemed to be brighter. There seemed to be fewer jet trails going through the sky. It's really an issue, isn't it?
It is an issue. It's a long-term issue, especially if they start to add a bunch of capacity with aircraft, especially in cities that have a lot of hub traffic, Chicago being one of them, the New York corridor, including Newark also as well. So Los Angeles and all the airports around there as well. So some cities have it worse than others, and some cities are closer to mountains where that stuff accumulates as well. So it's certainly a long-term issue that they want to address. I've seen the testing on some of this stuff, and this stuff is the biodiesel stuff. stuff will probably be out in the next 4 or 5 years.
Here's something that maybe you can settle, because I know you have a finger on this. We were having a discussion after this drone incident in London with the British Airways jet coming in and it hit a drone, or a drone hit it. Is it possible for one of these drones to bring down an airliner?
It would be not easy for it to bring down one, but it would be similar to a bird strike, right? We've seen what birds can do, and with the crash in the Hudson, they can actually bring down. If it gets in the engine in the right spot, it actually can clog up the engine and cause it to have issues. So clearly, drones are a little bit different than birds, because birds, usually you have a whole flock of them when this happens. But the size of the drone matters. I mean, some of these drones are several feet in diameter, and they could cause all sorts of issues with aircraft.
And so far this year, the FAA says there's been more than 500 of these just in the U.S. But the thing that really surprised me were how many laser incidents there have been, nearly 4,000 over the last year.
Yeah, I've seen there's lots of arrests that have happened. Where I live in Dallas, there's been at least 4 arrests in the last 6 months for kids basically shining lasers not only at aircraft inbound into the airports. We have 2 large airports here, but also at helicopters flying above as well. So this is something that they're really trying to crack down on these folks. They're trying to make some examples. So if you're out there with those laser pointers, just be aware the FBI is after you.
Well, Rick, get us out of town cheaply.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at the end of May, since that's sort of the date we're looking for. And if you're heading up to the Great Northwest, Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, all in the $285 range, that's pretty good for that time of year. You've got L.A., San Diego in the low 230s. You've also got Cancun and San Juan, Puerto Rico, right at $310 round trip. That's pretty good out of Chicago as well. And then Miami and Orlando, they have some Spirit Airlines flights for under 100, but the other airlines are matching on certain cases in the 130 to 140 range.
Rick Cini, the founder and CEO of faircompare.com, on Twitter @RickCini. That's the opening bell for today. Join us again tomorrow. Have a great day.